This is Live and Local. It's your connection to live performances throughout our listening area. And we are at our new time now for the third day in a row from 4 to 5 p.m. And very pleased to be here with you today. And we have our first live in-studio performance at the new time on today's show. Our guest is David Howie, who is a singer, songwriter, guitarist who's been playing in our area for an awfully long time. And sorry to say, this is, well, I'm glad to say he's here. Sorry to say, it's our first time having him here in the 3.5 years we've been doing the program, but better late than never, as they say. He's got a bunch of performances in the Champaign-Urbana area in the next 10 days or so. In fact, he was just performing at one of his kind of regular gigs at El Toro 2 on Neal Street in Champaign Tuesday night. He's going to be at Silver Creek in Urbana tomorrow night. He's at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign. Saturday night late, Holy Cross Church, he's playing Wednesday evening. That's in Champaign. And then next Friday at Bentley's Pub in Champaign. And then he'll be in Edinburgh, Illinois on the 15th, and et cetera, et cetera. You can always check his website. We'll give you that information as we go along. But, David, thanks for joining us on the show.
Happy to be here, Kevin. Thank you.
And you informed me when we were talking the other day that I've encountered relatives of yours live in this studio, a nephew and a son or two.
A son and a nephew, right. Tommy Howie, of course, the illustrious Tommy Howie.
Oh, illustrious, he'd be glad to know that.
and my son, Daniel Howie, who is involved in theater and madrigals and music and stuff in town.
And he's at St. Thomas More?
St. Thomas More, yep.
High School. Mm-hmm.
Sophomore.
Tommy's was at Central High School. Or was he at St.
Thomas? He was at STM also.
He was. Yeah. Well, Tommy encountered in some different places through Champaign-Urbana Theater Company shows and
right.
And some of the St. Thomas More madrigal shows and theater shows we've had in here. We do like to have high school students and so on, whether it's through their schools or other performances that they're having. And, of course, we frequently have singer-songwriters. I know you do a bunch of different kinds of shows. You do mm-hmm. something you call your jukebox show, which is a covers show, mm-hmm. and then you do originals show. Do you necessarily always categorize whatever, you know, one of your gigs, let's say Silver Creek on Friday, is that one or the other of those shows? Do you mix things up typically?
Generally, the jukebox show is the engine that drives my musical life right now. As far as just the work that I'm consistently doing. But within that, there are originals that people choose from, too. So I've given them a pool of songs to choose from. Within those songs, of 300 songs, there's my originals sprinkled throughout. And so people that are fans of me or the show will come, and they know my stuff as much as they know the covers, and so they'll request those, too. So every show will feature a few originals sprinkled in, but it's really mostly a cover show. And I like the fact that I love playing other people's songs. I learn so much about songwriting and chord structures, things that work, things that don't work, things that break all the rules but still work, and that sort of thing. So it's, for me, it's kind of like a school of song. Teaches me and informs the writing that I end up doing, too, to some degree.
Well, why don't we let you start off with whatever you want to start with.
Is all right.
This yours or a cover, or will we know?
No, we'll feature original stuff today. This will be this is a song that I wrote. It's the lead-off track off my latest record, which is The Rearview Mirror of the Soul, and that's available on my website, davidhowiemusic.com. Free download there, so fill your ears with some music. And this was sort of I wanted to write a gathering song, an invocation of sorts, a first song, a welcoming song of the evening. So this has some of the hopes that I would have for people coming to shows. I play the songs, might get the words wrong, but you know where I'm coming from. I can go for days, I can simply amaze. I'm here and I'm ready for fun.
So let's raise our voices and make good choices. Everybody's free tonight. Let distractions go, let the cold drinks flow, and get lost in a starry night. Everybody's here, so come on, let's go. The go of the secrets everybody knows. Hang on to the love and let it flow all around. Everybody's here. Have you heard the news? I got magical shoes and they kick all the blues away. Through the neon night when the light is right and you've had yourself one of those days. So let's turn it on and let's turn it up. Lose yourself inside of the sound. Let distractions go, let the cold drinks flow, and get lost in a starry night. Everybody's here, so come on, let's go. The go of the secrets everybody knows. Hang on to the love and let it flow. So come on, let's go. Let go of the secrets everybody knows. Hang on to the love and let it flow all around. Everybody's here, so come on, let's go. Let go of the secrets everybody knows. Hang on to the love and let it flow all around.
So that's actually called
Everybody's Here,
logically enough, and it comes from the Rearview Mirror of the Soul. Did you say that your most recent recording? You have, your recordings are kind of a mix of commercial ones and homemade ones, and when I say commercial, I mean in some cases recordings you've been on by a pretty big name record label or two. Otherwise, a lot of them are produced right here in Champaign-Urbana by Mark Rubel of Pogo Studios, who...
Yes, sir.
Just about anybody who records in this area at least knows of Mark if they haven't worked with him directly.
Yep.
We've had him on the show. Talk a little bit about that early time. You, when I was reading through your bio, I saw that you apparently had to recover from this in various ways, but a band called Rain People that you were signed to with CBS, that's not small fry.
No, I was a couple friends of mine and I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. We'd grown up in the Midwest, moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and just decided to try and write songs on our own. We just had a little Fostex four-track cassette set up and just wanted to write good songs, and... That's really all we knew. We didn't have a band as such. But we started writing songs, and we got a hold of some management. And they were there were two guys, and one was very song-oriented and production-oriented. The other was very had worked with record labels and was great in that respect, too, with marketing and things like that. So it was a good – between the two of them, a really, really well-rounded approach for us. And so, you know, we just kept writing. Every weekend we would just have these mammoth sessions of, you know, recording for 2 or 3 days and just try and get a new song done. And they would shop it to folks in New York and get some feedback. And then we'd just refine and keep working at it. And finally, I think there were like 5 record labels that were interested in us at the time. And, of course, this was back in the mid-'80s when – if you were going to get signed, an A&R guy would come to you and want to go see you in a club or something, go see you in your natural environment, see how the crowd responds to you, see how the stuff works live, you know, get a sense of the whole overall picture. And we didn't have a band. It was just three of us just writing songs. So they would come over to our house and just sit on lawn chairs in the living room, and we would just sing to backing tracks. You know, so it had to be a really strange experience for these A&R guys who are used to, you know, going all over the world and hearing bands in different environments. But Epic, CBS, made us an offer, and we couldn't refuse. And so we did a record called Rain People. And we had a video for the single A Little Bit of Time, and we had some marginal success in the college market. And there was an audio magazine that rated it one of the best recorded albums or something of the year, one of the top 25 in terms of its sound or something, I think. I wish I could remember exactly what publication that was. But it was a trying time. I was young, and I was still, you know, trying to find out who I was. And so in the end, that led me back to Illinois. And Mark was the guy at the console when I started making records again that really helped me heal from the recording process, particularly. The recording process that we did for Rain People, for me personally, was really unsatisfying. And it was epitomized by, it was just uninspiring for me. And I didn't know what my role was. I was a guitar player enough to write songs. I wasn't a guitar player enough to, you know, play on a record, really, to be honest. And so the other guy was doing a lot of the work, the lion's share of all the work in terms of music and stuff. But we all collaborated on the ideas, arrangements. I was heavily involved in the vocal arrangements and stuff.
Well, so, I was going to ask you that, you know, you said you were songwriters without a band. And was that and is that common for record scouts to come around and hear people who write songs only and perform at their level?
I'm sure that, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, has a publishing company. That's all. You can be a writer and not go out and tour, you know, and just sell your songs.
In which case, then they go and
pitch
they
your
say
songs.
You, they like your songs.
Or they'll say, you know, hey, we need a song for Bette Midler's record. She needs one ballad. The record's almost done. And it needs to have the mention of blue sky in it, you know, or something, you know. So you can write the topic, you know, and do it that way. So I've never done that.
I was just going to ask if you've ever done anything like
although
that.
I do it with some of the other work that I've done, you know, in subsequent years, but I never did it when I was, you know, signed to CBS. So and Warner Brothers was our publishing company. It was one of the things we could have done. We just didn't do it.
Right. So you became your own band. And they must have been somewhat okay with it, or they wouldn't have signed it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think that they were sold on the material. They were just sold on the strength of the songs, and they thought they'll get a band. They'll make that work. You know, they had enough faith in us, and we were going to do that. You know, had every intention of getting a drummer, and I had even thought about playing drums. I worked on playing drums for a half a year just to figure out that I'm not a drummer, really, you know. So, you know, in the end, I think that those guys would look for strong material. At least that's what they were looking for with us. They found that, and they were willing to work with us on the rest of it.
So we went on the recording tour. It was the three of you who
right. It was
off.
Just us, and we had a drummer, Pat Mastolato from Mr. Mister fame, came in and did drum overdubs. We tracked the whole record to a drum machine, and then he came in and did live cymbal work and maybe some snare work, a little bit here and there, that sort of thing.
And then several years later, having come back here, this band called Sons and Daughters.
Right. That was in January of 92, my wife and I and Chad Dunn, a local percussionist extraordinaire in this town, got together and decided that I was at a juncture in my life where all of a sudden God had just appeared as an important thing to consider in my life and where I was in relationship to God, etc. And for me, the songs were less about, and the band was really, excuse me, less about trying to be a Christian band, whatever that is, and more about people who happen to be Christians who happen to be in a band, you know, and so they're natural, or for me anyway, I wrote all those songs that were in the band. That was a natural expression of just what I was going through at the time. You know, I usually write from experience a lot anyway. So It was 15 years and 4 records and hundreds of shows all over the country, really. And then we all got to the point where we had kids and came to this sort of same crossroads at the same time where everybody said, you know what, we got to take care of raising our kids right now and let the music take a back seat. And so that's what we did. And then I started the Jukebox Show because I had been...
About another 10 years after that. 9 or so.
Well, no, I
2001?
I suppose. No, I've been doing the Jukebox Show for 5 years or so, right. 5, 6 years. So, I don't know. Dates are foggy for me.
I'm just looking at your, at, you know.
It was probably a while. Although
and I might even
time,
have misremembered that.
During that time, I was making records
2009,
for,
you said, on the website.
Okay,
yeah.
2009. Wow, it seems like it's been longer than that.
That's when I started this radio show.
Wow, okay.
Purely coincidental.
So, yeah, there was a gap. You know, surely there was a gap there. But I always liked being in a cover band. I was in a cover band many years ago, and it was a lot of fun. All I had to do was sing. I wasn't playing guitar, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. So I thought it'd be cool to come up with an idea for a cover show that wasn't just playing the same 45 songs every time you go do a 3-hour show. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could come up with a group of songs and give them to the people in such a way that they could choose what they wanted to hear. So you know every time you're going to, before you even play a note, that somebody wants to hear that song. And so it puts you just a hair ahead of the game a little bit. You know somebody's there listening.
So when do they give you that, if you're going to have a performance, say, Friday night, when do you know?
Well, I have a lighted request board, and I have all these songs on request books laid out like jukebox strips. Mm. So they're all indexed. So like Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues is A1. And so somebody, if they want to hear that, they would come up to the board and write down A1 with a fluorescent crayon, you know. And so I just look to the board. They build the show. I play what they want to hear, you know. And I never know where they're going to go.
Did you bring your list along?
No, I didn't.
Your song
list? I'm
sorry,
it's in the truck.
I could do one.
It's
could
on my website.
I can do a request.
Yeah,
right now.
I thought about that, but let's.
But
do,
I don't know what's on the list.
What we'll do is let's do that next time.
Okay,
and
sure.
And we'll just do a whole hour of the live.
That might be
show.
Fun. We could get different people
could
from
phone
the
in.
Studio in
because it's on the website. All you have to do is the whole
right.
thing's right there.
Well, that might be fun to do. Sure, we have an idea. But today, as you said earlier, we're going to hear exclusively originals.
Yeah,
I'm talking with David Howie on Live and Local. Cover artist and also singer-songwriter in the case of today's work, and of course guitarist. And I gather you've practiced since back in the days in the mid '80s when you said I wasn't much of a guitarist to perform places.
Yeah, I had to find my own way, and being in Sons and Daughters really helped me because I had to interact with a band, and I had to make room for other people in my playing. I had to learn how to play cleaner. And how to just stay in tempo with, living human beings and that sort of thing. So that taught me a bunch. And I just play it. I've been playing ever since I was 13. But I never, I consider myself, just a mediocre guitar player because I like to play as little as I have to to inform the song and no more. So it's just a default setting that I have, I guess. So I don't consider myself flashy, so then I equate that with, well, I'm probably just kind of mediocre. Because I hear many people that are, just can kill on guitar.
There are some extraordinary guitarists.
Yeah.
And others who get by with what they need to do. And
right.
Some who are,
fan of
all kinds of things in between.
I'm a fan of limitations, actually. And making,
a fan of limitations.
I really honestly am. When I record... When I make like my little homemade records, like the Rearview Mirror of the Soul is one of these. It's just a standalone 8-track digital recorder that I use, and I force myself to just say, I'm just going to try and do this using this recorder and not have 56 tracks of guitar and 18 tracks of percussion, and just keep it simple and elemental and essential, to what the song really needs. And most songs really. That's a lot of tracks when you think about it.
Well, yeah, I always one of my pet peeves actually since doing this show is discovering how many records sound so artificial because they are.
Right.
You know, because they are so separated from the reality of a live performance,
mm-hmm.
that I at least find them a lot less easy to enjoy because
sure.
I appreciate live performance.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Speaking of, what do you got next?
Well, I got a song here. This is a crowd favorite called Keep Walking.
Is hard and the air is cold. Keep walking, keep walking. When you're not really sure where it is you should go, keep walking, keep walking. When it feels like your heart's just broken in two, keep walking, keep walking. Come a day it'll all get better for you. Keep walking, keep walking. When the day is young, but you're feeling old, keep walking, keep walking. When you lose the rhythm and you got no soul, keep walking, keep walking. When you lose the motivation for the things that you love, keep walking, keep walking. When you carry the pain of the one that you love, keep walking, keep walking. And the scar is old. Keep walking, keep walking. When the night is long and the morning's cold, keep walking, keep walking. Keep your eyes up, baby, and your head held high. Keep walking, keep walking. And you'll find most times things will turn out fine. Keep walking. Sometimes it's all we can do.
Keep Walking, the name of the song by David Howie, sung and played live in our studio here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. We have support for today's show from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday features a blind tasting and food pairing event, followed from 7 to 9 by the jazz sounds of Lamont Parsons and Friends. Details are available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. Coming back, David, to your jukebox show, the covers show, I was just reading a description here, and you actually include some jukebox sounds in the course of people sending their requests.
I bought a little sample of the quarter drop,
yeah.
the arm moving over, and then the crack pop and the hiss of the record.
So how many people of the sorts of people who come to your shows actually remember that?
Yeah, that's the funny thing is that, people go, hey, there's something wrong with your PA,
Yeah.
No, never mind.
So what's the mix of your audience?
Well, it's funny because I'll have people from every age group you can imagine, especially playing in restaurants as well as in clubs and bars. and doing work for the Champaign Public Library, the toddler records that I've done, has been very interesting because I'll be at one of these gigs and I'll see a mom and a child come up and they'll be looking at me and like, that's the Baby Boogie guy, you know? And so they recognize my voice from the CDs that their kids are listening to, or and hence they're listening to. And so it's very funny to see the people that I don't really ever get to see in terms of that audience, other than once a year I do a gig for the Champaign Public Library during Baby Week there, where they have a whole week long of stuff for toddlers and young children and things.
So you actually have a song called The Baby Boogie?
No, that's the record. That's the name.
Oh,
of,
I see.
That's
okay.
The name of the record, the first of the two toddler records that I've done with the Champaign Public Library.
It sounds like a potential for a great song over that name.
Baby Boogie?
The Baby
Boogie.
Well,
sure.
Boogie.
I mean, we could write it right now, Kevin, you know.
Hey, I'm no writer, but I'll listen to you write it.
Baby Boogie, the Baby Boogie. Oh, Baby Boogie. What are we going to think of other than Baby Boogie, Baby Boogie, Baby Boogie?
Come on, Kevin, your turn.
Why not? Hey, I just sit here and listen.
See, it's harder than it looks.
I get people to talk. That's my job.
You know, I actually, on another local radio station, I won't mention who it was, but I used to do a Friday time slot during drive time where I was Dave the Impromptu Song Guy. And people would call in with song titles and say, write a song. Like Mac Davis used to do. I don't know if you remember Mac Davis. Yeah, see, I'm older than you are, probably.
Either that or you just listen to different radio.
No, he was a television guy.
TV?
Yeah, he had a variety show on television.
Watch different TV.
If it was running short on or long on time, he'd go out there with a guitar at the end and say, you know, just give me a song title. And he'd write on the spur of the moment, you know, a song for them. And it was always great, you know. Like some kid said, Alligator Lips. And, you know, it was like gold, you know, it's like you pray for those, you know, those great song titles you can really sink your teeth into.
Although I imagine somebody who has a shtick like that has to be like, you know, a jazz musician or any improvisational musician where you have your bag of tricks.
Right.
That you sort
exactly.
of yep. dip into mm-hmm. you know, in order to pull off something like that.
Right.
I like the idea, though.
You're debunking it, Kevin.
Well, no.
Pay no mind to that other voice
on
the microphone
okay.
out there.
That's okay. Well, jazz people will
sure.
tell you that. And then it'll be on display sometimes because sometimes you'll recognize the tune. They'll throw in a Christmas song
right.
for about 3 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that's part of the fun of it, I suppose. Well, next time you're on here, I want to hear The Baby Boogie.
Okay. I'll
really,
try.
So finish that up, yeah.
Okay, I'll do that.
Just challenge. See if you. And if you don't remember, it's perfectly fine. I won't remember either.
Remember what?
Yeah.
Did he say
exactly.
something?
We may be about the same age and can't remember anything.
Yeah.
David Howie's my guest here on Live and Local. He's going to be playing a number of times in our area. Silver Creek Restaurant. Speaking of restaurant gigs, in fact, several of these are those. Friday night. That's tomorrow night, 5:30. You play
to
for a couple of hours, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's no breaks. That's a two-hour set. That's
seriously?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to rest your vocal cords?
Nope.
Oh, lucky you.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Well, you've been doing it for a while. Dublin O'Neill's is in downtown Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Saturday night for a late show, 10
right,
o'clock.
Right, 9 to 12.
You'll have a – so that, I imagine, oh, from 9 to 12?
Right, 12? 9 to 12.
I'm going to
yeah,
change this
they
on
misplaced
here.
They placed it in the
– 9 to 12.
Paper,
all right, fair enough. So that's a late show. I would imagine you would do different kinds of songs depending upon the time of day or night?
Sure, sure. Theoretically, the idea is that it's going to be a little bit of a rowdier. You can do things a little bit more aggressively, a little bit louder, maybe a little more of the upbeat stuff, faster songs. You know, but really, the audience guides the thing. So it ends up kind of being what's the collective mood, you know, of people. Yeah, you know, if they're digging the whole request thing and they're going there with it, they're the ones choosing all the songs. So you just never know.
And are both of those tomorrow and Saturday? Both of those jukebox shows.
Yep.
And then next,
it keeps it fresh. I mean, it helps me because I'm like I have no idea what's coming next.
Right. Well, and with a repertoire of 300 songs, which is pretty incredible, surely there will be different songs picked from night to night.
Right.
The next Wednesday, Holy Cross Church in Champaign, 6:30.
6:30, right.
What kind of show will that be?
That will be a different, entirely different show. That will be a return back to me doing some Christian music. It's been years for me since I've done that. So this will also be a night that's going to feature some very adult topics, so it's not a night to bring the kids. It's more of a night of some sharing of some personal stories and things that really are meant more for adults and stuff.
Odd that a church show is the adult show.
Yeah, I know. I know. Pairing those two.
Rated R.
Right.
Rated G for God's difficult topics or something like that, however that goes. And then Bentley's Pub and Champagne next Friday, the 14th. That'll be the 9 o'clock show.
Depends. I think that's probably going to be a 7 to 9 show on the patio out back, as long as the weather is good. That's been a great Friday night show to have once a month, go there, and the patio is just filled up with people that just want to relax and forget about the week for a couple of hours.
Do they have a patio behind the pub? Okay, because I've not been back there.
If you just go
patio in the front,
straight
is
line.
Just on the street.
Yep.
Fair enough. And then in Edinburgh, Illinois, I don't even know where that is.
It is southeast of Springfield. It's north of Taylorville.
That'll be on the 15th.
A week for this Saturday,
Double
right.
D's. Mm-hmm.
A place I've never been, debut gig.
Wow. How many of those do you get these days, debuts?
Well, you know, the summer from like May through September or so, all the activity seems to ramp up. So there's regular gigs that I do that number in about 10 gigs a month or so. And then there's other stuff that just comes, you know, like this, you know, like the Edinburgh gig. So I would suspect, you know, maybe two or three of those a month or so come my way. There's enough of them that I have to be careful about. I have a full-time job on top of all this. So
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'm not 18 anymore. And the great thing about the show is that, you know, I can do it all by myself, but it's also the terrible thing about the show that I have to do it all by myself, which means the gear and everything else too. So, but, you know, I'd much rather do this than, you know, I've done other things before that I haven't liked as much as doing music. So
when you say you're not a teenager anymore, meaning that you don't have the illusion that you're going to do this as a full-time gig?
Oh, no. Or, I mean, in terms of age and you know, like the gear always weighs twice as much at the
level,
end of
sure.
the show than it does at the beginning of the show.
And yet, in spite of that, you seem to be able to remember these songs. Or
well,
do you have a cheat sheet?
I do have a book that I travel with, yes. That just gives me lyric and chord reminders. But there's also, I've found out over the years, key elements of songs that you have to include that are recognizable. Like, for example, the beginning of Two of Us by the Beatles. You know, that part isn't written down. I just have to remember these things. So that's a tiny microscopic example, but there's things like that in a lot of the songs. It's like, remember the riffs, remember the things that, you know, I have to play that are just sort of those distinguishable elements, you know, that make the songs recognizable.
Because if somebody's requesting it, they probably want to hear at least somewhat
close facsimile. Although there's other songs like, you know, ABBA, SOS, that, you know, you can do like,
those happy days, they seem so far behind.
It kind of sounds like a serial killer wrote it, you know. I mean, it's just really different, you know, creepy kind of.
Is that what you had in mind?
No, I mean, but that's what the first thing when I first. A lot of times, I'll take some of these songs and try to put a different spin on them. Like I do a bluegrass version of Purple Rain, and it's just because the chord progression is a straight country chord progression. So, you know, that song just, one of the tricks I'll do is if it's a fast song, slow it down. If it's slow, speed it up. You know, and on with the SOS song with ABBA, it just sounded really eerie and strange. I put a tremolo on the guitar and it was just Travis picked. And it was like, wow, this is like a real other place that takes the song. You know, it doesn't sound as happy. You know, it sounds a little scary. You know?
Do you play with some of this, you know, from time to time, like the SOS, where sometimes you won't do that version and you'll do another version?
What I'm more likely to do is be playing a song and maybe at the tail end of the song, you know, start doing it reggae or start doing it like Bob Dylan would do it or Tom Waits, you know, or somebody else. I've always thought it'd be great to have a wheel in addition to the jukebox show that you spin and it says, you know, do it like Tom Waits, do it like Bruce Springsteen, do it like, Bob Dylan, bluegrass it, slow it down, an impromptu song. And then have
that would be a challenge.
Be an element involved. It's like if somebody chose, okay, we want you to do Folsom Prison Blues, but we want you to do it like a reggae song.
So it would really be for you like a roulette wheel.
Right.
and
but
hope you can
pull this
it
is
off.
An idea I've floated to many friends, and they all say, that'd be great. I'm like, yeah, wouldn't it? Why haven't I done it? Because I'm afraid.
Is, yeah, I imagine. I would be petrified if I were in your shoes, assuming I could even play a guitar, which I can't do. David Howie's my guest here on Live and Local. You just heard some of the gigs he's going to be playing coming up. You can check his website, which is davidhoweymusic.com, and explore more about him and different types of shows that he does and background and so on. And your list is on there.
It is on there. Yep.
And including a list of originals is on there?
I have downloadable versions of my records that are on there. So, in fact, my latest record, The Rearview Mirror of the Soul, is a completely free download right now.
And how many songs on there?
13.
13. Mm-hmm. That's very nice of you.
Well, you know, this is a great little story. Many years ago, when I was a boy, I came from an Irish Catholic family, and there was a priest named Father Means, and he left our church to go to a different church and had a big impact on me for some reason. I was a little kid. He was somebody I looked up to. And so my mom and I, on this very rare occasion, came over to Champaign and went to House of Chin with Father Means. We had dinner. And at the end of the dinner, Father Means gave me this big bowl full of fortune cookies. And he said, I want you to give one to everybody in the place and tell them gifts are meant to be shared, so share. And so that's what I did. I went to every single person in that place, looked them right in the eye and said, gifts are meant to be shared, so share. And I gave them a fortune cookie. And I think of that when I offer the record. I think, you know what, in the end, this gift of music is really just that. It's just a gift that I get to be involved in this. I can't even put into words the gratitude I have in my heart for being able to do this in the places that I get to do this in. So to offer it, I'm like, you know, that's the whole point. The songs, the records are made so that people will hear them. And that hopefully, I think records do things in people's lives. They've affected me. I mean, I've had records that have deeply impacted my life, you know, in my lifetime. And I don't want, you know, a dollar amount to ever be a barrier to that. So, if people want to donate something, they can, whatever. Or they can't. And that's fine, too. You know, and if they don't like it, that's okay, too. You know, but at least it didn't cost them anything, and they got to listen to it.
That's
right. And have an informed opinion, so.
Well, speaking of places that don't necessarily cost you anything, we, of course, are here on public radio. And if this were a pledge show, I would say it doesn't have to cost anything. But it could, and we could sure use the help. So that is actually a true message.
There you go.
And you're always welcome to go to our website, and I think I forget what the button says, donate now or something like that. Feel free. But meanwhile, we're on your dial at 90.9 FM. I'm Kevin Kelly, and this is Live and Local. At our new time, which is now from 4 to 5, coming up at 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. But right now we've got live in our studio, David Howie, to sing what?
This is a song called Everybody Everywhere Wants Everything.
I can understand that that's probably very true.
Everybody everywhere wants everything, and they wanted it all yesterday. Seems to me we spend a whole lot more time talking, and we have a lot less to say. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. Remember what it felt felt like when the sun would break the clouds. We would smile just 'cause we could. Remember when we sat down and spoke our fears aloud, just like everybody should. Everybody should. Everybody, everybody, everywhere wants everything, and they wanted it all yesterday. Seems to me we spend a whole lot more time talking, and we have a lot less to say. Hey, hey. Night, we hear those three same words. I, me, mine. Somewhere we got off the tracks into another world. You got yours, and baby, I got mine. I got mine. Everybody, everybody, everywhere wants everything, and they wanted it all yesterday. Seems to me we spend a whole lot more time talking, and we have a lot less to say. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey. On the radio, just like they did in days of old. It's a sign of the times. Be careful of the love you keep, 'cause it ain't yours and it ain't cheap, and it always bears a price. Sacrifice. Everybody, everybody, everywhere wants everything, and they wanted it all yesterday. Seems to me we spend a whole lot more time texting, and have a lot less to say. Everybody everywhere wants everything, and they wanted it all yesterday. Seems to me we spend a whole lot more time talking, and have a lot less to say. Hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
Everybody everywhere wants everything. David Howie, live on Live and Local, where our program today is made possible with support from the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences of all ages to attend the opening night party this Saturday, September 8th at 6 p.m., featuring La Excelencia. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com or call 217-333-6280. David, as you mentioned earlier, you know, you were in a Christian band for a while, and you do some shows of Catholic kids' music as a principal writer for, what is it called, the K4J, Kids mm-hmm. for Jesus?
Right. It's a virtue program.
A vacation Bible school program?
Right. It's a, well, which is part of a larger virtue-based program for schools.
It seems like a couple of the songs that you have sung already today do have messages of some kind, not necessarily Christian messages,
right.
but
mm-hmm.
messages nonetheless, like, you know, maybe we could be doing better than we're doing. Mm-hmm. Is that where that comes from? You know,
everything's kind of linked to me, I think, through the filter of a believing person as far as that goes. But, you know, I think that in my head, I guess I must – I like when I can write a song that has more than one meaning and it leaves things open-ended, where the true meaning will end up being in the listener's ears. you know, as and they're in their mind, what they think and the conclusions that they draw. So for me, trying to write songs that, you know, I'm a believing person, and yet not every song I write is going to be about that. I mean, it's, you know, so the ones that have intersections, I suppose it comes through a little bit, you know.
So a believing person, not necessarily a preaching person.
Right. Yeah. I've never really been comfortable with, you know, and this is probably to my chagrin, I mean, to my detriment in some respects, but I've just never been comfortable with being sort of a confrontational kind of a preachy person or something. You know, I'm just a fallen person, just like the next person anyway. So, I mean, I got nothing to say. You know, I mean, if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it in a song, and they can make their own conclusions, and the less I have to do with it in the middle, probably the better. Music is communication at a root level, you know. I mean, it honestly is, and especially and including music that has words, you know. So
I assume that on your covers list, your request list, there are certain songs that probably aren't going to show up there.
Well, you know, it's funny because that's actually not the case. Like, for example, Working Class Hero is on there by John Lennon. I don't know if you're familiar with that song, but it's a very scathing song with, you know, he drops the F-bomb and, you know, several other things. And there are other songs like Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother by Ray Wiley Hubbard. These are barroom sing-alongs, you know, things like that. You know, I'm not even prepared in my head to think what I should say or to know what to feel about how I mix that or not, you know. I think I just tried to look at it first as just, can I play this song? Am I capable of being able to sing it and play it and deliver it enough so that people will know what it is, you know?
So if you're a fallen person like the rest of us, might as well fall every once in a while and just
I wouldn't say that as such. I'm just saying that, you know, there's enough judgment in the world. And the last thing in the world I need to do is be judging people and expressing that judgment by the songs that I choose in the jukebox show. That would be like, it just takes away from the organic process that is that show, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think that there's, you know, I'm not like doing, you know, I don't know, Satan worshiping songs or something. Not that there'd be anything wrong with that, you know. You know what I mean? I'm not doing, you know, like really deeply questionable material a lot through these things as such. But there have been like there have been a couple of times when I had to watch it because I was at a show where there was a mixed crowd and somebody requested Working Class Hero by John Lennon, and I said, you know, that I couldn't play that today, and I couldn't believe it because this person had a child there. And you know, I guess if I was at home playing a song for my child, maybe that's a little bit different. Maybe, I don't know. But this was a pretty young child. I just thought maybe she just wasn't thinking, you know. And so I'm like, I'm not going to do that, you know. Right. I don't really think that's what the folks who hired me to come in and play have in mind, you know.
Maybe the person talks that way around their child.
Right. That could very well be, too, as far as that goes. Who knows? But I knew I wasn't comfortable doing that, and so I just didn't.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What are you comfortable singing next?
This is a song. This is certainly a song that crosses some lines in terms of belief and how I write and stuff. There's a lot of belief that the world, you know, there's that the world's going to end at a specific date and time. There's even some belief that that's going to happen this year.
According to the ancient Mayans.
So, right. Yeah. And there are some people out there that really believe, you know, earnestly in that sort of thing. And I just got sick of the talk after a while because I thought, you know, if we're really good, kind of focusing only on that, then we're losing today. And to me, I'm like, you know, my real focus is all I have, which is today. So, you know, if that's coming, oh, well, that's coming. I can't stop it anyway, whatever, you know. So this is sort of a maybe in my own mind an internal response to that concept and hearing a little too much about it.
There's fire burning on the hill. poison churning in the still. Crack that's running in the windowsill. Gotta find a new place where I can be still, be still. There's a bell that's ringing everyone can hear. Ringing loud, ringing clear. Comes a day you gotta face your fear. Wonder where we go from here, from here. People see the signs, signs of the times. Wondering about the days we call yours and mine. There'll come a day when it comes into view. Then we'll really know just what's a lie and what is true. There's a killer wave that's on its way. Gonna take everything, sweep it away. Deafness in the world today. No one hears what we don't say. Don't say. There's a darkness in the heart of man. Devil inside playing kick the can. Try and get away while you still can. Gotta find a place and take a stand up. Stand. People see the signs, signs of the times. Wondering about the days we call yours and mine. There'll come a day when it comes in view. And we'll really know just what's a lie and what is true. Fire burning on the hill, poison churning in the still. Crack that's running in the windowsill. Gotta find a new place where I can be still, be still, be still, be still.
David Howie, live on Live and Local. And Be Still, is that the name of the song then?
True.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Either would work, I suppose. And David will be performing a bunch of times in our immediate area, by which I mean Champaign-Urbana, which is where WYLL is located, but also in our listening area elsewhere in the next number of weeks. Silver Creek Restaurant in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5:30. Dublin O'Neill's from 9 to 12, downtown Champaign, Saturday. Holy Cross Church in Champaign next Wednesday evening, 6:30. Bentley's Pub in Champaign sometime.
7 to 9.
It is 7 to 9 on the 14th. Double D's in Edinburgh, Illinois next Saturday the 15th at 9 o'clock, and check his schedule at davidhowiemusic.com. See when he might be in your area. On tomorrow's Live and Local, I will be featuring two members of a group of classically trained musicians, all of whom really do some major extensions of their notion of classically trained musicians. They're called Three-Part Invention, and their show on Saturday night at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur will include some music of Bach. It'll include lots of other things as well. I'll be talking with electric violinist Tracy Silverman and cellist Mike Bach on tomorrow's Live and Local. Support for us on today's show comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine tastings on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday features a blind tasting and food pairing event, followed from 7 to 9 by the jazz sounds of Lamont Parsons and Friends. Details are on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. This is 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Coming up in just a couple of minutes at 5 o'clock, it's All Things Considered from NPR. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. And David, we'll let you take us out with another song.
All right. This is a brand new song. This is called Doubt.
Gotta get a grip on this groove. Gotta find a way to make you move. Throw your troubles and your cares aside. Let's you and me go for a ride. Let's let it swing back and forth. Get the heads bopping to the north. Let's really say how we feel. Make a choice, conceal or reveal. Most of the time, well, I just can't figure it out. How's my heart and my head so full? Why's my heart and my head so full? Why's my heart and my head so full of doubt?